Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. One of the best ways to generate traffic is SEO, and while it can seem like a long-term game, the people who have mastered SEO are getting far more traffic there than they're getting from social media. So dominating SEO is really big. Most people think about Google, which we'll talk about, but there's also Bing SEO. So we're going to talk about how do we dominate on both of those high-level search engines. And the person who's going to be talking with us about that is actually a professional San Francisco-based SEO consultant who helps companies dominate Google and Bing through SEO consulting services. He works with companies as a social media consultant as well and an AdWords, a Google Ads expert. He conducts corporate SEO workshops and training across the San Francisco Bay Area in cities as diverse as Oakland and San Jose. And he provides SEO training in San Francisco, including Bay Area SEO classes and courses. As an internet marketing expert, he has also worked as an SEO expert witness, AdWords, now Google Ads expert witness, and social media expert witness as well. Today's guest for episode 264 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Jason McDonald. Jason, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, Mark, I am so excited to be on your show.
Jason, I'm really happy to have you on. And SEO is just such a powerful thing, but I feel like not enough people understand it. So that's why we're really going to dive deep into it. But can you just give us some background before we get into it? So like how you ended up being an SEO consultant and what got you there?
Sure. So the background is I have actually been on the internet since 1994. So I was one of the early adopters, as it were, and I was in the what's called the embedded systems industry, which is a very techy sort of industry in San Jose, and I had essentially what today would be called a blog. And in order to promote it, we had to get on top of the search engines. This was pre-Google. Google doesn't come along till 1999. So I just sort of dove into it at the time. That was the age of WebCrawler and Lycos and, you know, a whole bunch of search engines that kind of went by the wayside, AltaVista and whatnot. And I essentially just started reverse engineering, like, hey, if we did this, what happened to that? That's how I got into the area of SEO and how to implement search engines. So that was way back in the day. And then the sort of funny story is I was actually one of the first advertisers on Google. I mean, probably first couple thousand. And they actually came out to our office. And I used to have a Google towel that I should have kept that they gave me as a gift. But my dog destroyed the towel. Aww. So the dog had no respect for my Google swag. But that was how I got into AdWords, which of course is kind of interrelated with SEO. I think of them as kind of, you know, one is playing, you know, poker and one is playing, you know, some other type of card game. They're similar games, just a little different.
And I mean, it's interesting to hear how early you started. I mean, Google's not around, I'm not around. So there's so many things that are not around that this point you're able to grow from that point. And one of the things that you hear about in SEO now is this need to consistently create new content. And I'm wondering from an SEO standpoint, how much does it truly matter for us to be consistently creating new content? And what should we be doing for our content to rank it?
Sure. So One of the things about SEO is it's really not one size fits all. So I think that's a really important concept for your audience to understand. And here's what I mean. The biggest division is between local businesses and non-local businesses. So a local business is something where the search engine, Google, Bing, they generate the what's called the stack pack and they localize the results. So if you just go to Google right now and you put in pizza, you're going to see local pizza restaurants. So pizza is what's called a localized search term. That's really different than industrial fans or the causes of ovarian cancer. So there are different searches that do not generate local results. Now, that's the most important division in SEO for most businesses. Now, that's why this gets to your content question. And you know, return on investment, biggest bang for the buck. If somebody comes to me and they're a pizza restaurant and they say, gosh, I have limited time and I want to rank for Google for pizza in Palo Alto, I'm going to tell them that really the best use of their time is customer reviews on Google. And that's more important than their own content. It's a type of content, customer review. It's called UGC, user-generated content, but it's not the same as writing on your blog, hey, we're doing pepperoni pizza. Now, if they're an industrial fan maker, which is not a localized search, then there I think the content is very important. So in terms of the divisions, it's not one size fits all. That's the first big concept I think everybody should understand. And then if you're local, I can't emphasize enough, if you're a local business, the incredible value of getting happy customers to write reviews on Google. Now, in terms of content in general, yes, the trend is definitely towards content, higher quality content, content that humans really read, et cetera, et cetera. That's a big trend. And Google's getting better and better at kind of assessing the quality of content. So it's definitely true for most businesses. You know, having a healthy blog, having new content, freshening content is a very high return on investment endeavor. So it is important. It's more important than it used to be. But, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater here. For some businesses, reviews and link building and a stable website can actually be continually still be quite important to their success.
And I'd love to jump into some link building tactics very soon. But one of the things that, like, you mentioned that you focus on Google and Bing, and usually with SEO, like, the focus is really on Google. So I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about Bing SEO, any of the differences between Google and Bing, and how we can, how much we should be prioritizing Bing and some tactics there.
Yeah, sure. So Google officially has a 65% market share, somewhere in that range is what the official statistics are. In my experience, and I would say in the experience of almost everyone in the SEO industry, I think it's more about a 90% search share. So it's really heavily Google in terms of priorities. Okay, so that's, again, you know, don't prioritize Bing if you're not doing well on Google, because Google is where the lion's share of the access is. Now, within the two of them, a couple things I would point out. So back to this review question. Reviews on Google have an enormous impact on local rank for local businesses, and many businesses are local. That's a really common business. It's one of the most common search patterns. Google reviews influence Google. Obviously, Google reviews do not influence Bing. So then what influences Bing? Yelp. So Yelp, you know, is probably the largest local review site, kind of after Google. And Bing pulls data from Yelp, and Bing often, I would say 60, 70, 80% of the time will show Yelp reviews. So one of the biggest differences between the two search engines, again, talking on local search, is that Bing pulls Yelp, Google pulls Google reviews. So if you're trying to rank on Bing, you've got to work on Yelp. It's also true that Yelp searches often rank high on Google. So Yelp is kind of a third player here for local businesses that I would really focus on, okay? The next big difference between Google and Bing is that Bing is much more sensitive to keywords in the domain and keywords in the URL. So if you want to rank for industrial fans for agriculture. If you have a domain that says industrial fans, that's very important for Bing. If you have a URL that's in, you know, industrialfans.com/agriculture.html, Bing is more sensitive to the URL structure than Google is. Google is better by far at the way that links work. It's much more sensitive to the link portfolio and in a more sophisticated way than Bing is. And also Google has a better semantic engine. So it's much harder to play Google. Bing is a little bit more outdated. So, you know, repetition of keywords is a little bit easier on Bing. So those are sort of the big differences. Another thing I would mention to your readers is not to fall into the trap of thinking it's Google or Bing, because for many searches, for instance, that are e-commerce based, Amazon is by far a bigger search engine than even Google. So for many commerce based searches, Amazon is an incredibly important search engine, and it has its own issues. Amongst them, its own reviews and sales velocity is very important on Amazon. So Amazon is very important. YouTube is very important. YouTube is a very important search engine, especially for how-to content, you know, how to tie a tie, this type of thing. So I wouldn't look at it as Google Bing. I would look at it as Google Bing, Amazon, YouTube, and then dive into each one again with an awareness of where your customers hang out, and that's going to vary based on what you're selling.
And I really like the focus that like these sites, Google, Bing, Amazon, YouTube, they're all search engines that you can optimize for, that you can better rank for. And one of the things that I wanted to touch upon, which we're going to go back to, is the link building, because I know that's really important for SEO. So how can we be building links without buying the backlinks? That's black hat. But like, how can we just start building links naturally and organically to our content?
Sure. So on links, so just so people understand, like, what is a link? So a link is when website A says, you know, blah, 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 and they link, they have a, you know, the little blue, you can click on it with your mouse type of thing. And website A talks about website B. So simple model to understand it is to think of links like their votes, and Google is the vote counter. That's a very simple model. So if two websites are competing, the website that has more links will outrank the website that has fewer links. Now, you're absolutely right. Google is like the vote counter, and it's sensitive to vote manipulation. So you can't just go buy links from 50,000 Indian blogs and have them all link to you around the phrase pizza and be at the top of Google. That worked in 2000 or something, but it really does not work anymore, and it really backfires in your face. Okay, now, so if I'm working with a client and they kind of realize, okay, we've done the easy stuff, we know our keywords, we've written good content, we've kind of spoken SEO, we've learned the basics of tag structure and content, then we need to do some link building. For most clients, and I'm not talking about Geico Insurance or Progressive Insurance or something like that. For most small business clients, here's the good news. Most of your competitors are doing nothing. So if you just do a little, you'll succeed. And so that's really important not to get discouraged. You don't have to run faster than the bear. You just have to run faster than your buddy. So you just have to get a few more links than they do. So the easiest thing to start out with is what I call directory links or ecosystem partner links. So for instance, if you're a personal injury lawyer, look at what are the directories that are relevant to your expertise. That would be the local chamber of commerce, any and all associations that you might be a member of. For instance, you know, the Hispanic business persons, the women's business person, the Hispanic women's business persons who love poodles association. There's always a lot of these associations that will usually allow inclusion and have a link back to you. Then kind of work your way up the food chain. Just take your keyword, personal injury lawyer, and Google personal injury lawyer directory. And again, I'm always into simplicity. Don't overwhelm people with too much technical detail. If a directory ranks at the top of Google for the search for your keywords, personal injury lawyer directory, that's a very good bet that that is a good directory to be in. So a little directory building is often enough to push you over the finish line. Now, it's not always enough. It's not sufficient. So then you go into other types of link building. So for instance, nonprofit sponsorships. So you can go and you can look for nonprofits that are in your kind of keyword community. So you would look for, let's say, marketing clubs or lawyer clubs at the various universities, and then sponsor those, and then get them to have put your logo on their website or their subpage. Let's say they're at the University of California, Berkeley or something, and then that have a link. So what we call kind of nonprofit link building is another easy, good technique. And a lot of businesses are already doing some kind of philanthropy. That's an easy technique. Another one that I like to use, which is very counterintuitive, is press releases. They've kind of got a bad name on the internet in terms of SEO, but again, I think used judiciously, used with what are called HTTP links, they're an important part of a portfolio. And again, they're often sufficient to help a company rank that's not competing, you know, against the likes of a Geico or something that's really, you know, has hundreds of thousands of links. So a little link building with directories, press releases, philanthropy, those are usually sufficient in my experience to really help a company. And there's a lot more advanced tactics, but again, most people, you know, you ask a company, hey, what are you guys doing for link building? And the first response is, what's link building, right? That tells you they're not doing anything. And that's kind of common in many businesses. So just a little bit will help.
And I agree that like a little bit will help. You could definitely build on it along the way. I really like the nonprofit idea. You could also just do some outreach as well. Anything that helps you move the ball forward. But some people, as I mentioned earlier, they feel a little confused about SEO, and I'm wondering, what do you believe holds most people back from truly understanding SEO and being able to reap the results?
I think that one of the misconceptions in SEO is that it is so technical that only a computer science major, you know, from Yale University with a PhD can actually do this. So I think that the SEO community and Google have done a great job at discouraging everyone. I call this tech intimidation. They've just intimidated everyone into believing that it's just impossible. So I think people start out with an attitude of, there's no way I can do this because it's too technical. Well, the good news, we're in a much more content-friendly environment than we were 5-10 years ago. A little keyword research, a little understanding of how the tag structure on websites work, a little content that's keyword heavy, you know, not overdoing it, that helps with your on page. Very easy stuff. So I think that this intimidation is the main factor that holds them back. I would say related to that, you know, I'm always sort of apologetic about being in the SEO community. It is kind of the trailer trash of the internet. You know, there people get these calls and there are these scams and there's like all this black hat. So I think people get a kind of it's kind of like a drug dealer kind of philosophy that they feel. And so they don't want to engage with it because it's unfortunately a lot of very unscrupulous kind of sleazy companies have been involved. And not all of them by any means, but there is that group and they're the ones that blast you with robocalls. And so I think that again makes people think that it's just sort of sleazy. So why do it?
I mean, I totally agree with that. I just wanted to expand on this because SEO, like there's so much to it, obviously. I mean, like Neil Patel is like one of the masters of SEO. You can see like all of his like traffic that he's able to get, but I do receive, and I could see the sleazy part because I receive a lot of emails where it's like, it's not even hello Mark, it's like hello Mark's blog, here are like a bunch of ways, or hello site admin. So like I definitely see it, but I mean, people like you,
there was There was a guy, he's no longer with Google, his name is Matt Cutts. He was sort of their spokesperson. And he, you know, his email was like matt.cutts@google.com. And one time he shared some spam that he got that literally was like matt.cutts@google.com. We've noticed you're not ranking on Google and we'd like to help you. I mean, that's how bad the spam is and it's how really stupid bad. It is. So that then gives people a really bad sense that this is just, it's like, you know, it's like going out and buying street drugs. And it's not like that in the sense that there are some very above board, simple things that make a big impact if you just invest a little time in it. For instance, people listening to the podcast, if they just go to Google and they Google SEO starter guide, Google produces a very solid basic overview to how to build your website to talk to Google. And shocking revelation, if you do what Google tells you to do, you know, that'll get you a third of the way there and often have a very big impact on your performance. But most people don't know to look for it, and they don't spend the 25 minutes it takes to read, you know, Google's official guide. Now, it doesn't tell you everything, but you know, it's like learning to play poker. It at least teaches you like what is the ace, you know, and what is the deuce. So you learn the basics. And again, if your competitors are not very bright, that may be sufficient to really help you.
And if you are like me, you're getting a bunch of these spam emails from SEO agencies. As Jason said, just like do some searching, get that guide from Google, because that could make a really big difference in your perception of SEO, but also in your ability to make it work. And like SEO, like I know like the tech intimidation as Jason mentioned, I totally see it. It's something that like a lot of people have reached out to me saying SEO is so hard. I've saw it myself a lot in the beginning, even middle part of my journey. But I'm wondering if you could share with us one of the big challenges that you have faced with SEO on your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Sure. So a couple things I have learned that I think are relevant. So let me share a couple stories that kind of we all have our battle scars. So one battle scar is what's called the Penguin update. So back in the day, you know, 5-7 years ago, you could go and find and hire and get 10,000 blogs generally located in India, you know, because of the linguistic affinity between India and the English speaking world. And they would optimize, you know, a million links that all said pizza or personal injury lawyer or something like that. And then you'd rank on Google and everything was great. Well, Google then came out with the Penguin update, which is pretty old at this point, and they nuked so many websites that were using this system. So what happens then is potential clients would come to me and they'd say, we've been really naughty, we've done this, and we want to get out of it, we want to fix it. And I've taken on a couple clients that were in this, you know, prison of essentially being punished. And the hard lesson that I've learned is if you have 10,000 links from super low quality websites, my attitude today is, God help you, I'm not going to take on the project. It's too difficult to recover. So unfortunately, Google's done such a great job on cracking down on this. It is really difficult to dig your way out of that penalty. There are companies like Bruce Clay that seem to specialize in this. It's very difficult, and you really have to have a very high value domain. My recommendation to those kinds of clients would to be abandon their domain and start over. That is one thing I've learned that I really don't like to deal with. It's very difficult to recover. The second thing that I have learned is more sort of personal. There's a lot of, you know, it's a small community or small enough. And I had an incident a long time ago where I won't go into all the details, but I basically commented on someone else in the SEO community, and I thought it was actually relatively positive, but the guy was pretty psycho, and he knew people at Google. And so I ended up with a manual penalty for all of my websites, essentially because the guy complained and he knew the right people. So my takeaway there was, you know, and this is a huge takeaway for social media as well, if you don't have something nice to say about somebody on the internet, don't say anything, because, you know, the kind of customer from hell, the person you tick off who's really motivated, can be such a problem. So I'm always on my best behavior online and really don't try to stir up trouble, because I have been bitten by that before. And it's really a huge pain when that happens.
There are some very interesting lessons. I mean, some of them, they just seem so simple, but at the same time, we have to be reminded of them continuously in order for them to stick. I mean, sometimes, like, it's tempting to just say something bad online, and at other times it's like, yeah, I could do the job, I can get you out of the situation. But in some cases, like in the online exam, you gotta remember, like, just something that you repeat yourself, like, if you're angry, like, wait 10 seconds. With Jason's example of, like, at this point he would turn down clients, that is something that you may eventually have to get to the point of doing, because you don't want to take on a client who may be giving you too much of a workload, unrealistic expectations, or just a pain to work with. So really great lessons in there. And another way we can learn a lot of lessons is through reading books. So Jason, I'm wondering if you could share with us three books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
With respect to SEO or just in general?
Just in general.
So I'm a recovering intellectual. So I have a PhD from Berkeley. So I tend to like a little bit more on the esoteric. So for anyone who's dealing with the media, I think one of the most interesting books, it's kind of an academic read, but it's really, really a profound book, is Understanding Media. It's by Marshall McLuhan. It was written in the 60s. It's a very provocative, it's way before digital media, of course. And he really has some insights in how, you know, the medium is the message. That phrase comes from that book. And it's a really good, kind of like a beach read when you really want to be very profound. I would really recommend that book to anyone who's interested in digital marketing. It's a very good book to really kind of open your super brainiac, kind of like, how is this media landscape changing as we move to social media and we move to the internet and we move to YouTube and all these changes which really impact marketing. That's a really good one. On the SEO front, there's a book called The Art of SEO. I have a book, of course, on SEO, which is a very practical guide. The Art of SEO is like the Bible. It's like this huge, thick, esoteric read. It kind of assumes, it assumes you know the basics, and it goes into very technical detail. I think that book is really good. If you've done the basics, that's a really good book about kind of the technical aspects of it as well. And then on content, I think the guy's name is Joe Pugli, I believe, from the Content Marketing Institute. He has some good books on content marketing, and I think that's a real trend I know you're interested in. And I think that content marketing is really interesting. And there's some good books on content marketing, which is kind of, I think, the future of where all of this is headed. So I would definitely kind of find a good book on content and think about how content can help market your company. I think that's another book that I'd recommend.
Jason, thank you for sharing with us those great book recommendations. We will throw all those into the show notes, marketbirdie.com/E264. We'll also throw in two other books. My book, Content Marketing Secrets, which you can find at marketbirdie.com/book. And my latest book, Podcast Domination, which is over at marketbirdie.com/PD for anyone who is interested. And before we wrap up this episode, Jason, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
As marketers or just in general?
You could do maybe one for both, or it's your preference.
So in terms of questions, I think are very helpful to ask ourselves. I would base this on my favorite quote, which is from Voltaire, which is that the perfect is the enemy of the good. And what I mean here is to ask yourself, when you produce content, when you produce something for your career, I think we often shoot ourselves down because we have such high expectations. And I'm kind of a believer in, you know, get it out there, get it done, and then learn from that. So that's sort of a question I'd ask myself. Am I kind of shooting myself in the foot by being too much of a perfectionist? That's what I would ask myself.
Jason, thank you for sharing with us that great question, all of your great insights to our time together. And if you guys want to learn more about Jason, he's actually come out with several books. Jason, I'm wondering if you could share with us what some of those books are, what they're about, and some other places where we could find you as well.
Sure. Easiest way to find me is to go to Google or go to Amazon and put in Jason McDonald. I'm at the top for all of those searches for my own name. So that's an easy way for anyone to find me or my books. I have a book on SEO. You go to Amazon, put in SEO, you'll find my SEO workbook. I have a book on AdWords. Same deal. Go to Amazon, put in AdWords. I have a book on social media marketing. Go to Amazon. I know Amazon very well. I'm coming out with a new book on marketing, which I hope to have out by September. That book is called The Marketing Book. And if you go to my personal website, you'll Google Jason McDonald. I will be sending out review copies of that book, so you can get on my mailing list, and I will send out an announcement when that book is ready for readers.
Jason, thank you for sharing all those books and all those places where we could find you and all of the great insights that you provided as well. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn